Rejoicing Him who rules today upon the heavenly throne, where saints their hearts they'll tribute pay and make their homage known.
No earthly king so great as He,
who rules all worlds in majesty.
Good morning, Oscoda and Taos Aries. My name is Scott Busich, and I am the preacher for the Oscoda Church of Christ. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home this day and hope that you will enjoy your time with me as we search the scriptures. You are invited to join us this morning for worship at 5726 Cedar Lake Road at 11 a.m. and then again at 6 p.m. There's also a Bible study Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and then another one Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. All of these services are broadcast live on Facebook, and you are welcome to join us there. Just like and follow the Oscoda Church of Christ. As an alternative, you're always welcome to call or text me, 989-305-2721, or send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. Join me now in opening our Bibles as we search the Scriptures. Now, today we're going to finish Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, which started back in chapter 5. And today we're going to start in chapter 7 in verse 21. One of the problems with our slow, careful consideration of the text is that sometimes we forget the context that's already been established by earlier studies. Therefore, let me remind us that Jesus' teaching here in the Sermon on the Mount starts with the idea that God does things differently than we do, even those of us who are spiritually or morally focused. So as he finishes the sermon, that idea hasn't changed. God still does things differently. And that's the challenge for us. So turn with me now to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Anyone says that Christians don't need to do anything in their relationship with God, they're deceiving you. There's a definite expectation here in the Sermon on the Mount from Jesus that we Christians need to be doing something. Now, those some things, many people assume that it has to do with the very things that Jesus lists here for us as an example, just what he says, calling Jesus Lord, prophesying, casting out demons, doing mighty works. Oh, these are the things which many Christians aspire to do. Even the simplest part here, calling Jesus Lord, Jesus himself says that's not good enough. Good enough, right? Can you imagine? Again, another example here. Someone prophesying. They're speaking the word of God. God has given them a message to spread to mankind. And Jesus says, away with them. He never knew them. Jesus is willing to reject such a person. Someone who called him Lord. Jesus says, even if someone calls him Lord, they can still be rejected from entering into the kingdom of heaven. What? What's the problem here? Doesn't Jesus love everyone? Didn't he die for everyone's sins? Aren't we forgiven in Christ Jesus? And the answer, of course, is yes, Jesus does love everyone. He did go to the cross for everyone. And yes, those in Christ have had their sins forgiven. But to teach that we Christians do nothing is erroneous. Remember, Jesus is willing to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. That's Jesus. So what does Jesus expect of us? What does he expect us to do? If it isn't calling him Lord, and it isn't prophesying, and it isn't casting out demons, and it isn't mighty works, what does Jesus want from us? And the key is the last part of Jesus' statement, also the first part of Jesus' statement. He starts off by saying, "He who does the will of my Father." And let me quote him at the very end where he says, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." See, Jesus expects us to follow the Father, to keep God's laws. Now, does that make Jesus a legalist? Of course not. It makes him honest. God expects us to follow his commands. He's always expected those who follow him to keep his commandments. Even forgiven Christians are still required to keep the commandments of God. Now, before we go wandering through the scriptures or looking at man's history for these commands, let's stay in the Sermon on the Mount. What laws have we seen here in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus expects us to keep? Well, how about what we call the golden rule? Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. See, in truth, this whole sermon, Jesus has been teaching us here that the whole Sermon on the Mount, it can be summed up in two parts. The first part is to love God, and the second part is to love your neighbor. See, most of the Sermon on the Mount is focused on teaching us to love our neighbor. There's some parts in there about loving God, but it's mostly about loving your neighbor because we seem to have a terrible time doing that. Jesus requires that we love one another in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the teaching of Jesus. We don't get in without it. And as Jesus continues, everyone's familiar with the example of the man who builds his house on the rock and compared to the man who builds his house on the sand. There's even a children's song about it. I'll save you the pain of having me sing it to you. But anyone who is wise, they're going to build their house on the rock. We know this, right? It seems pretty simple. So why is Jesus giving us building instructions? And the answer is because he isn't speaking about building an actual house, is he? What does Jesus mean when he tells us to build our house on the rock? As Jesus says in verse 24, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." That's right. Jesus tells us that if we're wise, we will do what Jesus has said. We will hear his words and we will do them. That is building our house upon the rock, doing what Jesus tells us to do. So what did Jesus tell us to do? Oh, all the way through the Sermon on the Mount, keep God's law, love one another. If we're wise, we will listen to Jesus and we will keep the law of God. If we are unwise, conversely, we will ignore Jesus' teaching. If we're wise, we have entrance into the kingdom of heaven. If we are unwise and we ignore the teachings of Jesus, we are not going to be allowed to be in the kingdom of heaven. This comes from Jesus himself. This is how God does things different. It's not based on how smart you are, how educated you are. It's not even based on how well you know God, is it? It's based on keeping God's law, keeping his commandments. Do we have to be doing something to enter the kingdom of heaven? Answer, yes. Returning to the beginning of our reading, remember, just calling Jesus Lord isn't enough. There are many so-called Christian pastors who will teach you that all you need to do is call upon Jesus, call him Lord. And Jesus says that isn't enough. Now, it's not wrong to call Jesus Lord. Of course, we're supposed to call him Lord. It is wrong to think or to teach that this is all you need to do. What does Jesus say? Build your house upon the rock, friends. And Jesus teaches us that prophesying isn't enough either. Again, many people have made quite a lot of money on prophesying, both in speaking fees, also in books and interviews, and Jesus says that isn't enough. Now again, it isn't wrong to prophesy if God has given you the words to speak. But it is wrong to teach that just because someone does prophesy, does do those things, that they're pleasing in Jesus' sight. We are supposed to keep the words of Jesus, friends. Casting out demons, that is no small feat. During Jesus' ministry here on the earth, at one point his disciples, they failed to cast out some demons from a boy. And when Paul was proclaiming Jesus, some Jewish itinerant priests tried to use the name of Jesus to cast out demons because they couldn't do it themselves. Casting out demons is amazing. It's never wrong to cast out demons if you can, but it is wrong to believe and teach that just because someone does that they have access to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus teaches us the way. Doing many mighty works, that's pretty impressive stuff. And so much so that there have been many fakes and charlatans who try to imitate the signs of God, the signs which Jesus and the early apostles performed, even doing the real mighty works of God, the real ones, the miracles, the signs. Those aren't enough to guarantee entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says that we need to keep the law of God. Now, wise men will heed these words of Jesus. The rock here is the words of Jesus. Build your house, build your life upon this rock. I will keep the words of Jesus. I will keep his teachings. And that is love God and love one another. Now, the warning of which I haven't spoken yet is this. Storms, they will come. Jesus, in giving the example of the man who builds his house upon the rock and the man who builds his house upon the sand, both of those men, both of them have to suffer storms. There will be rains and there will be winds and there will be floods. Following Jesus' advice isn't going to keep storms from happening. If you build upon the rock or the sands, either way, the storm will come. What happens, though, is this. If we follow Jesus, that will allow us to survive the storm. Our house will survive the storm. And when I'm talking about house, when Jesus is talking about house, he's talking about our lives. And so when storms come into our lives, when things are going terribly and it seems like our whole world is just crashing down around us, remember the words of Jesus here. Keep that Sermon on the Mount, Scott. Keep following what Jesus has said, because then you survive the storm. Your house will not be destroyed. Your house will continue if you follow the teachings of Jesus. This is what Jesus tells us. Now, we're familiar with the construction techniques of building upon rocks and sand. We know sand is not a very stable element for building. It shifts with the slightest change in pressure or support. It's easy to undercut, especially with water, the floods, rainfall, winds. All of these things, effects from above, effects from the side, and effects from below. There's no secure place in the world from such a storm, except when you build on bedrock. And the rock is the teachings of Jesus, the words of Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount. What kind of house are you building? Do you know the Sermon on the Mount? Do you keep what Jesus says here? Do you follow what he teaches? The last part of this sermon is the crowd. Man, the crowd's reaction is so important. Please pay attention to those who were there when Jesus spoke, those who heard the words of Jesus. Jesus said that those who hear his words and puts them into practice is like the wise man. And those who heard his words back then, what was their reaction? They were astonished. Why? Is there something fundamentally different about what Jesus teaches? And the answer is yes. Yes, there is. Remember, God does things differently. And Jesus, I used to say Jesus is calling us to do better, to be better. And that's only partly true. Jesus is calling us to do things differently. And he does things differently. See, those who heard his words back then, they heard the message and they're astonished. Did Jesus work a sign, a miracle with the sermon? And the answer is no. There's no signs here, no mighty works. Elsewhere, Jesus will perform those signs, but not here. Here, it's only the words of Jesus, his very teaching. And the people are astonished at what he teaches and how he teaches. The answer is in the text. Why is this? Jesus taught as one who had authority. He knows. This is how God does things. Not like the scribes, not like so many others. The people back then, they, when they heard Jesus' words, they recognized that what he spoke had authority behind it. He's not guessing. He's not surmising. It's not something that some conclusions that he drew from what somebody else wrote. He didn't even really quote the law of Moses here either, did he? There's some references, but even then he's like, this is not how God wants us to do things. How he wants us to do things is this. All the way through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been working to change our mindset so that we start to consider God and we start to consider our fellow man. This is what Jesus taught. And the people back then, they heard Jesus' words and they recognized his authority in speaking. And this is significant in today's world because many people today, they reject Jesus. They reject his authority. And most of that without even ever hearing the words of Jesus. A lot of people in the world today are not wise men. Remember, Jesus said that these kind of people, they build their houses upon sand. Lawless men are men who do what pleases themselves. They are men who cannot control themselves, and instead they live lives who cater to their baser pleasures, caring not for God, and definitely not caring for their fellow man. The big issue isn't that they enjoy life. They think they do, but they really don't. God wants us to enjoy life. After all, Jesus came that we might have abundant life, full life. The issue is that those who live lawlessly, they don't enjoy life. They think they do, but they don't, because the things that they do bring about death. They believe the lie sold by Satan that sin doesn't exist and that God wants to stop us from having fun. Remember, this sermon of Jesus's includes many teachings about how we treat our fellow man. Think about those who live lives without concern for God and think about how they treat their fellow man. And you're right, isn't it? They live terribly towards their fellow man. They don't care. They lawless men care only for themselves. What is in it for them? What can they get? What is the benefit to them? What is pleasurable to them? Lawful people are people who discipline themselves in their lives and in their actions, and in so doing, they care for other people. See, lawful people are the people who follow the teachings of Jesus, especially the teachings found here in the Sermon on the Mount, doing what the Father has told us to do. Jesus' teachings, they don't come from someone else. They don't come from scribes. They don't come from philosophers. What Jesus teaches here in the Sermon on the Mount comes from God. God does things different. And Jesus does things different because he too is God. He is God in the flesh. And he teaches us that in order to get into the kingdom of heaven, we need to keep his law. We need to keep the Sermon on the Mount. So today you need to decide. You need to decide. Are you lawless? Do you live the way you want to live, or do you follow Jesus? Do you live the way you think you should live, the way that feels best to you? Or are you keeping the teachings of Jesus? Are you following the words of Jesus? Did you hear the words of Jesus, and are you doing them? Because that's the wise man. It isn't enough to just hear them. You have to do them as well. So, are you doing? One last reminder. Jesus told us that only calling him Lord wasn't good enough. We have to be doers as well. So are you a doer, or are you just a caller? Jesus has spoken. Let me encourage you today to heed his message, to keep the commandments of God. Well, I hope you've enjoyed our time in the scriptures today. I thank you for joining me. If I can pray for you, set up a personal Bible study, help you in any way, please let me know. Again, my name is Scott Busich. I preach for the Oscoda Church of Christ at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, just 1 mile north of F41 on Cedar Lake Road in Oscoda. And I invite you to worship with us at 11 o'clock this morning, or feel free to call or text me, 989-305-2721. Send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. And as always, may God bless you as you go to worship this day.
I like to say, Lord, from the start, thank you for breaking through my heart.
Thank you for tearing every chain apart. When I was lost, you made a way. You turned the darkest night to day. You are my joy, and Lord, I'd like to say that nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody thrills me like you do. Oh, nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody, Lord, but you.
No, nobody.
Nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody thrills me like you do. Oh, nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody, Lord, but you. Nobody but you. When I am weak, my Lord, you're strong, loving me even when I'm wrong. Lord, you are my salvation and my song. Every day I'll make the choice, just listening, following your voice. Being with you, I can't help but rejoice. For nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody thrills me like you do. Oh, nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody, Lord, but you.
No, nobody.
Nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody thrills me like you do. Oh, nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody, Lord, but you. Nobody but you.
Celebrate His grace, for He has redeemed our lives and He reigns.